1978, and right now we are in her home all by ourselves, and Sherry Marie and everybody that went across the road, and they're going to go and have a little party, I guess. And so Grandma and I are going to try and sit here and talk a little bit about our childhood days. And so, Grandma, do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
I'm almost 87.
87?
I'll be 87 in August.
87 in August, yeah. Where did you spend most of your childhood days at? Where did you spend your childhood days at?
Well, right in Branch County.
In Branch County?
Yes. And I lived 5 years in Calhoun County from the time I was 9 until 14. I spent in Calhoun County. And I've always lived on a farm. And back when I was at home, they farmed fields, not ranches like they do now,
mm-hmm.
with horses. And my father didn't have only two horses to plow and cultivate, work with. Later years, after I was married, my husband had three horses.
How old was you when you got married?
I was 20.
20 years old? In Calhoun County?
No, I was married in Coldwater.
Coldwater?
Mm-hmm. I taught school in Bethel, Jones Island School, mm-hmm. 1 year. And I taught the Rockabank School. I didn't have the whole year there. The other teacher retired.
Mm-hmm.
I finished out the year four there.
Mm. Well, then you've had a very interesting life then, haven't you, Grandma? How long did you work for the state?
14 and a half years.
14 and a half years, or 14 and a half years.
My husband died young. He was only 53.
Boy.
And I had drove the team on a clover, a mowing machine with a clover attachment on it. I never drove on a drag because I couldn't keep up with them. But I drove a team on a roller.
Yeah, yeah.
And I helped cut corn when I put it in shocks.
Yeah. Did you ever rake any hay?
Oh, yes.
Remember the old duck rakes that
I always
your foot on the step, you remember?
Yeah.
And you windrowed your hay up like that?
They put the hay in little hay bunches, call them haycocks.
Yeah.
And I always, it could be up on a wagon and I'd tramp the hay down. And when I was only about 12 years old, I helped my father. They stacked grain, and I had to keep the bundles from slipping out. I'd hold them back in, tramp them down. And then when I was about 12 years old, I picked lots of blueberries, wild blueberries. I'd average about 32 quarts a day. And they sold them for 5 cents, some for 10. If we got 10, we thought that was pretty good. And I weeded onions. I never learned to ride horses very much, a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I drove on a buggy.
How many acres did your family farm
the
average?
My father only had a small place. I wouldn't say just how many there was. was a small place.
Uh-huh.
And he worked by the day some besides. And then he worked the fields on a neighboring farm. Shall I tell something funny?
Yeah, we like to have all the storytelling we can get out of this.
Where we lived up near Marshall, it was lots of rattlesnakes back in them days.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, although he wasn't a very religious man, but he thought women should be dressed, covered up.
Mm-hmm.
And on the neighbor's farm where he was, where he worked, out in the dooryard, the city people came out and they was out there in the sun and didn't have too many clothes on, not like they have nowadays, but they looked pretty skimpy, and he thought it was disgusting. Well, my brother and I, she was only five, we killed a rattlesnake in the backyard at home, and my father said, "Now don't tell anybody that you killed this down here." He said, "I'll get them kids out of the dooryard up there." He says, "I'll teach them to stay out there without many clothes on." And he carried the snake by the tail, and he was going up to open up a field. He had the scythe, or the cradle, they called it, the size of the rack on it, to open up the field for him to cut the wheat in the field. And he carried that snake along till he got the corner of the yard, and he dropped it down, and he says, "My goodness, get them children in the house." He says, "It's a rattlesnake I killed right here." He says, "And there's two of them. There always is two of them. Mm-hmm. When you find one, you know there's another one around."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they all rushed in the house. But the father went on to lay down the rail fence so they could get in with the binder.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed the mate to the snake. And that was one of the episodes that we got into. He said, "Well," he says, "that shows you don't pay to lie."
Yeah, that's right, Grandma, that's
right. He said,
"Right.
You get caught."
That's right, yeah.
And my brother and I was always nosy about an empty house, and it was an empty house, and it was a lot better looking house than our house was.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a log house then, and that was a nice frame house, but it was empty, and we wanted to go in and see it. And of course, they didn't bother you if you did go roaming around over fields and days and thought nothing of it. And we went through the gate. We had to climb over the fence. But we went over the gate and went into the house. We was just going up to see what was upstairs. And we heard a noise. Well, we scrambled out the front door. And we didn't look back. It was such a noise. And we never heard anything like it. And we went over the fence, and when we got over the fence, we looked back, and there was a bunch of goats.
Oh,
they'd,
no.
They'd come to see what we were doing, and they'd come right into the house and had their feet up by the windowsills.
And so there you was, goats and all.
Well, it sure scared us.
Did you ever go back to the house?
No, we had all we wanted left.
The other day I went and visited my mother, and she saw a sale bill. And in that sale bill was a corn cracker. Have you ever heard of a corn cracker, Grandma?
Corn crackers?
Yep, a corn cracker. Not a corn husker, but a corn cracker.
No, we didn't have any of them around here.
What was it? Do you know?
Well, we'd take corn to the mill and get it ground. That's the way we got our corn meal.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't go to the store and buy it then, I don't think. They'd pick out, my father would pick out nice ears of corn and shell them, then take it and get our corn meal.
Maybe that's what that was then.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been. What was you going to say before I interrupted you?
Huh?
What was you going to say before I interrupted you?
Oh, after I was married, I had a couple of pet lambs. A farmer, whose mothers wouldn't own them, and he gave them to me. And I raised them, and they got to be great big lambs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my father-in-law went and bought, I think it was three more. I don't know whether it's three or five. And a buck sheep. Well, we didn't want to use to have lambs too early in the spring, so we had that buck sheep tied out.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband didn't like sheep. He didn't like them at all.
Yeah.
He was disgusted about the whole affair. Oh, the buck sheep got loose. Of course, he was disgusted about that, but he didn't have time to go and look for him. He wanted something that he couldn't leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went looking for the buck sheep. And I walked over, I guess they told her where Ada's farm was over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the farm across the road. And I went clear over almost down to the lake, and I saw the buck sheep over in there. But I also saw a view with a pail over her head. So I told my husband when he got home, I said, Don Archer's going to lose that view if you don't get over there and tell him that pail's over its head. And the buck's over there. So he got in the car and he went over. And they went and got the buck sheep and loaded him in and brought him home.
Mm-hmm.
Don thanked me for telling him about the sheep. He said I saved him a nice ewe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember when the tornado went through?
Oh, yes.
Where was you living at then?
Up on the, what they call Stony Point, the first house east of the corner down here.
How old was you when that went through?
Oh, I was married then. Let's see, that was in 1920.
20, yeah.
And I can tell you something funny about that, too. The wind blowed on Sunday. That happened on Sunday. And
mm-hmm.
The wind kept blowing so hard, all the windows and doors rattled so.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband laid down and went to sleep. And the two girls went to sleep that Sunday afternoon. And along about 5 o'clock, I couldn't stand it any longer. And I said, I think you better go down and do your chores, look after the stock. And they didn't have any cows to milk just then. It was all dry. And I said, you put the, prop the doors good so they won't blow, barn doors so they won't blow open. And he went down and it began to spatter rain just a little bit. When he got back, the barn was quite a ways from the house then. It was up on a hill back, and we had it moved down closer. And he said, got into the house and he sat down and looked out the south window. He said, I never saw clouds like them. He said, they're coming from the east just as fast as they can and from the west just as fast as they can. Well, I says, the geography says that there'll be a cyclone somewhere when the sea clouds do that. Oh, he says, you've always got a theory for everything. And so I didn't say anything more, and about that time it began to hail. Oh, how it did hail. And Nellie was just about 2 or 3 years old. And he said, let's go out on the north porch and let Nellie see the hail. You can just scoop it up in a handful on that porch. And pretty soon he was there a few minutes and he said, I guess I'll go see how your mother's cyclone is, making fun of me. And he went out. He says, get in the house and get down cellar. He says, the cyclone's right here. And there was a big window right by the cellar door. And I stood by the big window, and he took the two little girls, went down in the basement, and he says, come on. And they were both crying. They were scared, so terrible scared. And he called to me and said, come on down. I said, I want to sit strike that real fence. He said, I said, come down or I'll come up after. Well, I knew the girls was crying, so I went on down. And I got to foot the stairs, and the big window came down, and we could hear it come down on the floor above our heads. He said, now, Smarty, don't you wish you'd stayed up there? And then, of course, it was just seconds till it was all over. And I said, well, let's go out and see what we got left. We went upstairs, and both porches was gone, the roof on them, and half of the roof on the house, and, oh, 1, 2, 3, or 4 windows. One of them was that big window. And the oldest girl, she was about 12, I think, then. She went through the house, and it had taken my button box that sat in the dining room on the sewing machine. It was a little old tobacco box with a tin tobacco box with a lid on it. And it had picked that up and just carried it, strung the buttons across the house. And she said, oh, Mother, look at our buttons. She didn't notice the window glass and stuff. And it took a chicken coop down. It took a toilet and put it over in the garden, and took a boat that was turned up east of the house and carried it across the field and onto the other farm north of us. And I had a wash tub and a small, what they call a foot tub, out on the porch, and it took them. And I never did find a foot tub, but the wash tub was down to the other farm where Ada lived. And that was all bent. It looked as if they wanted to just hammered it and banged it every way they could imagine. And another funny thing it did, I had a dress laying on the sewing machine, and it was almost done. But the collar was laying on top. I hadn't put on that dress yet. And it took that collar. It didn't take the dress, but it took that collar and carried it off. And the next Sunday, we went down to the other place. The one, he'd been down and knew there wasn't any damage, but we just went down there for a walk. I'd never been down there yet since his father had bought it. And I saw something up on the hill. I said, there's the collar to my blue dress. And he went up and got it and brought it down, and sure enough, it was. And that looked as if they'd twisted it, and it twisted so hard there was a streak in it, new material. There was a white streak in it. And it took an old hymn, and there was a lot of my hymns up in the barn, 7 or 8, I guess. And where it picked that hymn, I don't know. But it took that one and took it down the other farm. And my father-in-law did a lot of work down there, and that hymn laid in mess of eggs down there and hatched up a bunch of chickens. And I said, well, that's my hen. I'll bet on it. Mm-hmm. And he had 17, that hen raised 17 chickens.
17. How long did it take you to rebuild from the tornado?
Oh, they went right at it and put the windows in and the roof on the house. They just had to. And the porches, they picked most of them up and they could use them over again.
That was nice.
It took a cultivator, a two-horse walking cultivator. Yeah. And just picked it up and turned it bottom side up. And the boat looked as if someone had taken hold of one end with one hand and the other end and twisted it. It was slivered through the middle, so.
Where was you at when the last tornado went through? When the one that went through and hit Coldwater Lake?
Oh, that was when I was just a kid. I lived over there by Coldwater Lake.
Coldwater Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was 9 years old when we moved away from there.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to live them days over again?
Oh, I don't believe I would. Some things wasn't very nice.
Yeah. You think the people today have got it awful easy, Grandma?
What?
You think the people today have got it too easy?
Well, they don't appreciate what they've got. And the trouble with the world today, they're too much credit. My husband and I never went in debt for anything that we knew we couldn't pay for.
Yeah.
And we never had more than one debt at a time anyway. We never went in debt for clothing or furniture. We did go in debt for groceries that we actually had to have, but we never bought knickknacks when we had to run a grocery bill. And
where was you at when the Depression hit?
Well, the Depression hit in the 30s.
Yeah.
And the Depression didn't bother us too much because we'd never had much anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'd hate to see a Depression now. A lot of these kids go raving mad that's had everything handed out to them. If I had a penny, I had to squeeze it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My grandmother and grandfather were the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say you taught school. What do you think about the schools today?
Well,
are they too easy or?
They've not enough discipline. And I think now this daylight saving time is more of a nuisance for kids than anything else. Mm-hmm. Because they get out too early and they have a chance to cut all kinds of didos. And it makes them get into mischief. Well, we had to walk to school and be there at 9 o'clock. Well, we got out at 4 o'clock. The time we walked home, we was ready to rest.
How many miles did you have to walk to school, Grandma?
Well,
do you remember?
On an average, everywhere was a mile and a half that I had to walk.
Mile and a half.
And the girls had to walk a mile and a half.
Mile and a half.
And one time we lived where I had to walk about 2 miles home.
That's four or 5 days a week.
And I sprained my ankle at school one day.
Yeah.
And The only way I could get home was to lay my hand on my little brother's shoulder and hop with one foot. I couldn't
walk. For 2 miles.
And what? 2 miles.
Two miles.
And when I got home, my foot was swollen so that my mother did get my shoe off, but she had to take the shears and cut my stocking off, because the minute the shoe was off, it just puffed up. And I didn't go to the doctor with it. I'm paying for it now. And we didn't go to the doctor unless we had to in them days. Well, the doctor made house calls, but we didn't call him unless we had to have him.
Can you remember when the first telephone was put in your neighborhood?
Well, no, I can't really remember the telephones, but they were different than they are now. They was up on the wall, and you had to...
Yeah, use a crank.
And it was 5 or 6 on the line anyway, sometimes more than that, I guess.
Yeah.
And when the telephone rung, everybody heard it. Everybody listened to
it. You think the people today have got it too easy?
Well,
I mean, their way of life. You think they're living too fast?
I think they are. They're trying to get too much the easiest way they can. They don't. Even the kids get to school. They don't get exercise they should. Them old days of walking to school, I said that when they consolidated the schools, they were riding the bus, the time would come when they'd have to hire an extra one to be on the bus.
Yeah.
And it isn't far off.
That's
either.
Right.
There's been a lot of accidents.
Yeah,
when I went out to state home to work, the man that drove the bus there, he worked a split shift so he could take the kids uptown, and then some of the kids worked uptown, and some of them went to school uptown. He could take them up there, and then he'd come back in the afternoon so as to go and get them. And then if there was a kid that had to go to the hospital in any of the cottages, he'd go and get them and take them. Sometimes they'd let one of the helper patients, they always in the cottage had some that helped. Sometimes they'd go along to help, but they didn't have to take an attendant along. But when he quit the job, they wasn't long till they had to have an attendant on the bus. And they had to have 2 men for what he did. And that's why I thought the time would come they'd have to have an attendant on the school buses, because I see it happen out there. When I first went to work out there, we went to work at 7 in the morning and worked till 3 in the afternoon. We had an hour out for lunch. And then another shift came on at 11, 10:30, I guess, and they worked until 11 o'clock at night. No, they worked till 7. And the night people went on at 7 and worked till 7 in the morning.
12 hours.
And well, then they come up with the idea the night people worked more hours than the day people did, so they had to have overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as they begin giving the night people overtime, well, that wasn't fair. The night people didn't do as much work as the day people did, because when the kids were sleeping, there wasn't anything to do. Well, they had to sort laundry for a while, and that took some time, and they kept at it until finally they changed it, and the night people went to work at 11, And I have done some chatting, but not a lot.
Understand that you got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes.
How many do you have, you know? All told?
I think about 17 grandchildren, but I've got 24 great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren, yeah. So that's something you can always... You always keep yourself busy, then, can't you, Grandma?
And I've sold a lot for the some of the grandchildren that's grown up now. I did a lot of sewing for them. Then I have babysat some, but not a great lot like some grandmothers have. Haven't babysat as much as Ruth has had to already.
Well, Grandma, I certainly enjoyed talking with you and enjoyed this interview very, very much. And is there anything else you want to say or talk about? Because our time is just about up. I understand that you have one favorite grandchild that you like very well. Her name is Sherry Marie. I understand you like her pretty good.
I don't think of anything.
Yeah?
I left out, I guess, when I was 3 years old, I nearly drowned.
Well, you did? Whereabouts?
In Lake Levine.
Where's that at?
That's in the southern part of Branch County.
Yeah?
And my dad was mending his boat. He was down under the boat, and he let me go down to the lake with him. We lived by the lake, but not close.
Mm-hmm.
We had to walk down the lane to get to the lake. And I was waiting in the lake, and I recall leaning over to pick up a clam shell, but I didn't, I can't remember coming to.
Is that right?
But my dad had a dog, and that dog brought me out, dragged me out with my skirt.
Is that right?
And my dad heard him bark, and he said, "Now I bet he's... The dog found a snake." He said, "I better get out there." And he got out, and when he got out, well, the dog was dragging me by the skirt. And my dad didn't dare leave me long enough. He worked with me to get the water out of my lungs, and he thought sure he couldn't bring me to, but he did.
Yes.
But he had to carry me to the house, and I was kind of a chunk at 3 years old.
Well, Grandma, it's getting kind of late, and so I got to get ready and go to class tonight. And so, you going to be around for my graduation?
I don't know.
Well, you better be. Because it's going to be quite a shindig, as I understand it. All my relations is going to have a party for me.
When will it be?
Next year, next May.
6th of May.
Next May. Next May. Mm-hmm. So I'll have my high school diploma, so you got to be around to have beat the party. You sure be walking by then.
Mm-hmm.
So God only knows what's going to happen then. But so anyway, this will be something for us to keep. And so with that, Grandma, I'll close, and I certainly enjoyed it very, very much.
Mm-hmm. I hope.